We're going to read from the Noam Elimelech. If you want to follow, we are in the Ma'amar that says, Ele Mo'adei Hashem. We recently just celebrated Pesach, and on every Yom Tov that we celebrate, the type of the Kiddush that we do is we mention a verse from this parasha. Ele Mo'adei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh Asher Tikra'u Otam B'Mo'adam. These are the times of Hashem, the holy times, that you should read them at the right time. Happens to be that this is what we pray, this is what we say Kiddush at the time of Yamim Tovim. והנה יש להבין מה שהצדיק מתפלל ונהנה בתפילתו. We have to understand when the tzaddik prays and his prayer is being answered. הלא נראה כהשתנות וחלילה ליחיד האמיתי מהשתנות. It might seem that it will change, chas v'shalom, from the ultimate one that is single, which is Hashem, of course. אך העניין הוא כך שהצדיק מתפלל על איזה אדם בשעה שהוא מתפלל, הוא מתפלל בכל חמה חבריו שעשה גידיו בלי שום מחשבה זרה. When the tzaddik is praying, and he's praying on somebody else, he's not praying on himself, and as he's praying with all of his 248 limbs and all of his 365 tendons without having any foreign thought. והוא מקשר אותו אדם שמתפלל בעדו ברמה חבריו. And he's connecting the person that he's praying for with his 248 limbs. והוא מקדשו לזה, and he's making that person holy. והוא נהנה, and that person gets answered. כי מהך תתה יחסר לאדם בוודאי מחמת עונש על חטא שעשה באחד מאיבריו. The reason why we're missing and lacking something is because that we did a sin and we damaged one of our limbs, one of our organs. We just learned that yesterday in Shaarei Kedusha, that every mitzvah corresponds to one limb and one tendon in our body. And we started going yesterday through a short list, that the mitzvot that have to do with your mouth, then praising and praying and so forth, then it will be connected to your mouth, and the mitzvot with your legs, standing, escorting a dead person and so forth, and we will be with your legs. But nevertheless, every mitzvah that I do, every mitzvah from the 613 mitzvot, it corresponds to a limb and an organ or a tendon in my body. And if chas v'shalom I do a sin, and the sin is that I don't do one of the mitzvot, or that I do what I'm supposed to do, then what the result will be, we learned that in Shaarei Kedusha, the spiritual, the godly light that is penetrating into the organ gets removed as a result from the sin, and then the organ becomes sick. And when the organ becomes sick, then the person falls into sickness. That's why a person becomes sick. מוודאי מחמת עונש על חטא שעשה באחד מאיברי גופו, because he did a sin in one of his limbs of his body. But, ובעת שהצדיק מעטה ומכסה עמו, אז נעשה אברי אותו אדם עם אברי הצדיק. But when a tzaddik prays for that specific person, and the tzaddik is praying with all of his limbs and bones and tendons and the entire body, then the body of that person becomes one with the body of the tzaddik. וממילא נתקן האדם. And then the person can reach and get refuah. וכיוון שנתקן החטא, since the sin gets rectified and gets corrected and removed, חלף עבר העונש ממנו, then the punishment gets removed. That's why we say from the book of Tehillim, וזהו כל עצמותיי תאמרנה. That's why we say all my bones are going to speak. That's when we pray, you see many people when they pray, their whole body is moving, whether it's voluntarily or not, but their body is moving. So, but David HaMelech says, Kol atzmotai tomarna, all my bones are going to move while I praise Hashem. Dehine kasher yechta adam, what happens when a person does a sin? Oto chet mavi oto lidei machshavot zarot. Once a person does a sin, then that sin, the existence of the sin, brings to his mind foreign thoughts. And what are these foreign thoughts? Anything that is not his thoughts. And Baal Shem Tov explains that we feed off from chambers in the heavens. All the energy that we get, our thoughts, our speech, our action, there are two chambers in Shemayim. One chamber is a chamber of purity, Heichalot Kedusha, chambers of holiness, and the other chamber is Heichalot Tumah, chambers of impurity. And if I direct my energy to the chamber of purity, then my thoughts and my speech and my action will be pure. And if Chas V'Shalom, I direct my energy to the chamber of impurity, then that's what I'm going to bring on myself. Impure thoughts, impure actions and speech and so forth. So, if a person, Chas V'Shalom, puts himself in a place of a sin, then he's directing himself to the chamber of impurity. So what will come to his thoughts and speech and action? Impure thoughts. So if a person is constantly involved in sin, so constantly his thoughts will be not pure. And then, of course, the mouth, the speech and the actions. And the proof to that is just make an analogy of your thoughts all day long. Are you really thinking pure thoughts or are you thinking not pure thoughts? The best test, I mean, that test is applying more to men, but look at a woman in front of you and right away start analyzing what you're thinking. Are you thinking how brilliant she is or are you thinking how attractive she is? So if you think how attractive she is, obviously you can know where your mind is, where the mind is feeding from. So, and this is just one example out of many, to understand what I mean, that the thoughts are pure or not pure. And sometimes, not all your thoughts are yours, by the way. Sometimes you will walk in the street and you will see an attractive woman and you, of course, look because she's right in front of you. Of course, you have the choice to put your head down. Nobody's forcing you to look. But nevertheless, a lot of the times the thoughts and the desire to look is not necessarily yours. I once heard from a great rabbi when somebody asked him, tell me, I'm walking in the street, I see in front of me a beautiful woman, and right away, she's in front of me. Am I now failing, ולא תתור אחרי נחם, and not to look in the wrong place? So he told him, when she's in front of you, that's not yours. You know when it's yours? When you go like that. So when you go like that, that's already yours. So, but nevertheless, same thing with your thoughts. Sometimes a thought comes into your mind, you can right away, you push the thought, you can control your thoughts. But nevertheless, it all depends what you feed from. If you're going to open the warm faucet in the tap, then you'll get warm water. You open the cold side, you'll get cold. That's how it works. I mean, nowadays, they kind of mix together. You're cold in the water, hotter in the same one. If you remember, in the olden days, the cold and the hot were in two different faucets. So, but anyways, you can give that example in many different ways. You open this faucet, whatever comes from that, that's what you get. So if a person puts himself in a impure place, then there's no question here that the thoughts that are going to be flowing into his mind are going to be impure. And then, of course, his speech, and then his actions. These are the three garments, how the soul interacts with the world. So now, what's your test with your speech? Some people, there's no control much of the mouth. And the easiest way to know if your speech is impure or not is, unfortunately, most people, they use a lot of false language, especially at times when they get a little bit aggravated. So a lot of people, they will bump their leg in the corner of the table and right away will throw a word. And has nothing to do with the situation right now. What does that word got to do with what happened right now? Say, ouch. Say, I. Why are you saying, shh? I don't wanna give the examples, but you all know what I mean. Why would you say that word? Somebody cuts you in the street. Instead of saying, oh, I'm hoping that he's not rushing to a hospital right now. Instead of that, you curse his entire family with all the diseases that exist in the world. You don't even know the person. Maybe he's having a stroke right now and the car is going to the different direction. So you can very easily monitor where your thoughts, speech and actions are coming from by how pure they are. Now again, if a person is constantly involved in mitzvot, good deeds, learning Torah, you're not going to get an impure thought. And even if you get an impure thought, this is mamash, what's called a machshava zara. Why is it called zara? Zara is foreign. It's not my thought. I didn't initiate it. I didn't invite it. It just came. Now comes your part to push it away. So the first 2-3 seconds of the thought, the vision, whatever it is, if you know how to block it right away, it's not yours. But nevertheless, here he says, "Kasher yechta adam," when a person does a sin, "oto chet mavi oto lidei machshavot zarot." The actual sin takes him to the next side, to the side of impurity, and right away he starts bringing on himself a lot of thoughts that are impure. "Venitmaot machshavto chalila." So the entire system of thinking, the entire process of thoughts becoming pure. So everything becomes impure. So I give an example with the lady. So your thought becomes now impure. What happens now? A minute later, you go to do business. Instead of saying, "Oh, let me be honest with this customer right away. Okay, how can I do something here that I'll make another $2. The thought right now, the thought process is not pure. Or, well, I can give you now a million and one examples, but you see that right away, the whole thought process becomes impure. And how can I cheat here? How can I get away from here? How can I do this? And that person is not looking right now. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to make an account with your own thoughts. There is a verse in the parasha that it says, "Lanefesh, to the soul, lo yitama be'amav." Don't make the soul impure like the people around you, meaning, "Shelo yitama et ha-machshava." Don't make your thought impure. If you know how to guard your thoughts, they're much harder than guarding your eyes. If you know how to guard your thoughts, then your thoughts constantly are pure, then it will already affect your speech, your action, your everything, your entire behavior. When the verse says, "Lenefesh lo yitama be'amav," the meaning is, don't make your thoughts impure, because your thoughts, ha-machshava yanefesh. The thought is a very spiritual thing. It's not tangible. And the nefesh is referring to the be'amav. The nefesh is controlling all the limbs. Amav means his nation, or in the nation. But the thought corresponds to the nefesh. And the word be'amav, to his people, to his nations, is corresponding to all the limbs. There's many, many limbs. It could be one thought, but many limbs. That's why the verse says, "All my thoughts are going to talk." When I'm praying with a very pure thought. Unfortunately, most people, when they pray, the thoughts are not so focused on the words. There's a story that one time, Baal Shem Tov was praying in a minyan, and right after Shmona Esrei, he turns around to the guy next to him, tells him, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. I've been here for the last 45 minutes. He's like, "No, you weren't. Your body was here. But 5 minutes ago, you were at the market. 10 minutes ago, you were in this. 15 minutes ago, you were there, and you weren't here. Your body was here." But nevertheless, "Kshe'ani mitpalel b'machshava zaka." When I'm praying with a very pure v'tzlula and clear thought, "V'chol evarim hem maskimim iti." Now what happens? My thought is so powerful, it controls my entire body. So my body, my limbs, agree with my thoughts. "Maskimim iti ba'avoda v'al yedei ze matzil ani mechazak mimeno." That's what the verse says. "Kol atzmotai tamarna, matzil ani," saving a poor person, "mechazak mimeno," strengthening him. This is referring to the person. "Hu ha'adam atzarich leze davar." We all need something. The person that it's talking about, the poor person that it's talking about, is referring to us. Because we all need something. One day I need food, the other day I need clothes, the next day I need to pay my electricity bill. I constantly need stuff. We don't even notice how Hashem is so good with us that every day He's providing us everything that we need. It's not me, it's Hashem. But nevertheless, I am the one who needs something. Who are me? That's the poor person that it's referring to. בדבר אז ניצול, כי אני מתפלל עבורו, ומקשרו עם מיקו דל אל. How am I getting my sustenance, or how am I getting what I need? By the fact that I connect myself with Hashem, and I receive what I need. With that said, he comes and explains the verse in our parasha, וזהו, this is what he means, אלה מועדי Hashem. These are the moments, the times, the festivals of Hashem. Now we're referring here to the festivals. That's when we mention this verse, Ele Moadei Hashem Mikra'ei Kodesh, the time that were called auspicious and holy times. But he is taking it to a different direction. He says, Ele Moadei Hashem, these are the times of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ulemala min hazman. Kadosh Baruch Hu is above time. In the level of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such a thing as time. We are the one that we have time, that we're bound to this time. When Hashem wanted to create the world, he had to create two things, time and space. Because in the world above, there's no such a thing, not as time and not space. So we are bound to time, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu is above time. This is something that our mind will never be able to understand in any type of a way. How can it be that in this realm, I am bound to time, and in the realm that is above me, and it's not necessarily, by the way, above my head. This is a mistake a lot of people don't understand when you say the world above. It doesn't mean that it's in the third floor and they're all looking down here. It's above in its level. It doesn't mean that it's physically above me. It can be dafka more inner in me. But nevertheless, very hard to understand in our mind how in this realm I am bound to time. There's seconds here. And in the world above me, there's no time. This question comes when you say, how long is the punishment for the soul in Gehinnom? Our sages say, 12 months. That's it, 12 months. People sit here in this world for 40 years in jail. For 12 months? 12 months in our time. The 12 months in our time can be 12 billion years in the world above. So how can it be? How can it be that here I'm saying Kaddish on a person who passed away for 11 months? That's the time that there's a trial going on in Shamayim. And in Shemayim, it can be billions of years. How do you calculate this relation? So this is something that our mind will never understand. How can it be that in a world that is above me in its level, it's not bound to the same time that I have here? So nevertheless, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is above time. Kadosh Baruch Hu lemala min hazman, he's above time. Ve'en bo shum ishtanut. Not only that Hashem is above time, there's no changes in Hashem. You know, scientists, we're not going to argue right now about what science says, but scientists says that this world is existing, I don't know, 13, 20 billion, I don't know what number. Every 2 years, the number changes. One time it's 30 billion years, sometimes it's 2 billion years. I don't even know how they count that. What are you basing it on? But we're not going to get into that argument right now. But nevertheless, even, let's say just for 1 second, let's say that theory is right and this world is existing for billions of years. One thing that you can testify that it's constantly changing. Let's say, forget about now the idea that the world is not. But nevertheless, even scientists will tell, yeah, the world is constantly changing, because their whole theory of science is that it started in one way and then developed and evolution and all this. Nevertheless, now let's go back to reality. Even in the world when it was created 5,770 years ago, there's constantly change. Trees are growing and the earth is moving and everything changing here. Hashem doesn't change. In this world, everything is subject to change. Take now a can and throw it into the ocean. I think it takes a couple of years and it will disintegrate and become part of the water. Or whatever it is, anything in this world is subject to change. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only thing that is not subject to change. Ani Hashem, ani Avaya lo shiniti. Never changed. V'amar ha-ketuv, the script says, Ele mo'adei Hashem, these are the times, the moments of Hashem, she'lifamim yechol ata limtzo etzel ha-borei gam ken zman v'ishtanot. Why is it saying that? Because you can find sometimes by the Kadosh Baruch Hu a time. We're bound to time. Hashem is not bound to time. But nevertheless, sometimes you can find a time by the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And not only that, a moment of change, something is changing. Dahainu, what does that mean? Im etmol haya eze gzera, yesterday was a decree. Like we said before, a person makes a sin, We learned that last week. A person makes a sin, he doesn't even get to finish the sin, there's already a prosecution in Shemaim. There's no wait. It's not like in this world that they have to go now to the judge and get a warrant. And the second that a person did a sin, right away there's a prosecution on Shemaim, comes a prosecutor, files a complaint, that person lied, they open a case, right away there's a case against you. This is called the gzera. It's right away. If you do tshuva, then you put this prosecution on hold. And then depends, we'll see what happens. But nevertheless, yesterday can be a prosecution, a gzera, a decree against a person. And v'ayom nishtana letova, and today it changes. Person did tshuva, person did a lot of prayers, something, whatever happened, and it changed. Mefaresh ha-katuv, and the script explains, meichan ba ze be'emet el ha-borei amiti. How is that coming from the Creator? ומפרש אשר תקראו אותם, and he explains, the verse says, I have to quote again the verse, אלה מועדי השם, מקראי קודש אשר תקראו אותם במועדם. That's what the verse says. He explains, אשר תקראו אותם, that you should read them, ראית בגמרא, it says in the Talmud, אל תקרא אותם, אלא אתם. There's many times that we find in drashot that it says, don't read the word that way, read the word this way. And you just change the pronunciation, it's a whole different word. The Talmud says, don't read the word otam, should read them. Rather, atem. Atem is you, in plural. Otze lomar, what is he trying to say here? Al yedei tfilat ha-tzadikim ha-mitpalil b'chol evarehem, by the prayers of the tzaddik that is praying with all of his might and all of his limbs, atem daika, specifically you, referring to perush b'chol gufchem, with all your body, shalem bli iruv machshava zarah chalila. Your body is completely whole and complete when there's no foreign thought, chas v'shalom. We mentioned many times that the Noam Elimelech, when he's constantly saying the word tzaddik, tzaddikim, tzaddik, tzaddikim, is referring to us. It's not referring to the real tzaddikim. He's referring to us. V'amech kulam tzaddikim, and he's basically saying something in a very interesting way. He says when you pray with a whole body, that all your body is immersed in the prayer, and there's no room for any foreign thought here. That's when you have the ability to change something from chas v'shalom, from evil to good. Now, most of us are subject to all these gzerot against us. Here I lie, here I say lashon hara, here I steal, here ktsat gezel, here this, here that. I mean, all day long we sin. If you think for one second that you're not, then there has to be some type of a reality check here. But the reality is that we all sin every day, a lot. Whether we do it intentionally, not intentionally, we were forced to do it, I didn't know. But the point is, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, I have a bucket full of sins. So now I have to minimize it to as minimum as possible. And of course, the ones that I do with not knowing, that's another problem. A lot of people say, hey, listen, I didn't know. Well, open the book and start learning. You have a chiyuv, you have to learn what to do and what not to do. Don't think you're going to come up to Shemayim and they'll give you a whole indictment. You'll be like, I didn't know. So you didn't know. Why didn't you take the time to learn? You have a chiyuv, you have an obligation to sin and learn. So don't say you don't know. But nevertheless, a lot of the sins are not deliberately, they're by mistake, whatever it is. But nevertheless, I do have sins. And that arouses prosecution against me. Needless to say that when I do tshuva at the end of the night, I say kriyat shma lamita. Kriyat shma lamita is not to just zoom through it. It's to sit for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, take your time, make an account, do a cheshbon nefesh, what I did today, so I can do tshuva. That's why we do tachanun before we go to sleep, al chet, so I go to sleep, I'm clean, I did tshuva. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but at least I admit. Nevertheless, when there's a prosecution against me, and we all, every day we have constantly prosecutions against us in Shemaim. The fact that I do a lot of good things, it's very nice, but I lie and I cheat and lashon hara and slander and many other things is right away prosecution. I need to shut the prosecutor down. What is he telling us in other words? Yesterday was a decree against me. Today it was annulled. How can it something change in Shamayim? This is a proof that there is change in Shamayim. How do we do that? He just says, when you pray with your entire might, kol atzmotai tomarna, you make your whole body is immersed in the prayer. There's no 1 second of a foreign thought here. You have the ability to completely change the decree from the world above. But of course, you have to have a clean thought. What does he say here? Bli eruv machshava zara chalila. Without any foreign thoughts here. Now, how do you get to such a place? So that's why you have to, when you wake up in the morning, you know, we have a custom. We go to the mikveh first. You get all this impurity off you. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a chiyuv. You don't have to do it. But if I want to reach to a higher level, a more refined level, then I have a lot of impurity on me when I go to sleep. So every morning I dip in the mikveh, I remove all this ruach ra'ah, all this impurity. I take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, to learn a little bit, to clean the mind. You wake up first thing in the morning and the phone starts ding, 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 ding. Then right away you start thinking, oh my gosh, I have to pay my bill and I have to do this and I have to do that. You're right away already thinking of all the problems of the day. That's why it's recommended not to open the phone in the morning. Wait till 12. You'll get all the emails about the bills that you have to pay after. But nevertheless, now we're not going to go through all the order what one needs to do to clean his mind. But I want to pray that I don't have foreign thoughts. And this is what it means. Vezeu b'mo'adam. Again, the verse says, Ele mo'adei Hashem mikrei kodesh. These are the time of Hashem that are called times of kodesh. Asher tikreu otam, that you should read them b'mo'adam, in their time. Da'olamot nikrei mo'ed. Why is it called mo'adam? Because in the Kabbalistic term, the worlds, we have many different worlds, and they're called mo'ed. Mo'ed is a time. Why? Shem tachat azman. Because all the worlds are subject to time. All the worlds are subject to time. So the worlds are called mo'adam, a time. Va'tzadikim ha'mitpalelim b'chavana, and the righteous people, the tzaddikim that are praying with the right kavana, with the right intention, hem ha'mekayimim ha'olamot. They're sustaining the worlds. So, we learned the other day, how do we give tzedakah to Hashem? We pray. When I say a bracha and I pray, I give tzedakah to Hashem. So when I pray with the right intention, the worlds are existing because of my prayers. Of course, when it's done with the right kavanah, with the right intention. Umashpin tova. And not only that, it's causing that the worlds will give a good energy, a good shefa. Vechayut, not only that, gives chayut, life force, and energy, lechol olamot, to all the worlds. Velazem gormim lehefech midat adin. And that's how they caused the midah of judgment to transform from din to rachamim, from judgment to mercy. And not only is tam mercy, rachamim gmurim, to complete mercy. Why? Ki hema moshlim bekol bakoach chayutam asher mashpim lakol. Because the worlds themselves, they have the control what shefa they're bringing, whether they bring something positive or bring something negative. And again, either way you're looking at it, one can say that the din, the judgment, is very negative, but in many cases the judgment can be very positive. Sometimes when there's something going to be too much of it and there's no judgment, there's no din, it's going to be too much. So I have control what the world is, so to say, giving. That's why there is a verse in the Torah that says that if you will walk in my path, in the path of my chukim, what does it mean, chukim? We have three types of mitzvot. First type of mitzvah is called edut. Edut is a testimony. All the mitzvot that we do that testifies for something. Pesach is a testimony that we left Mitzrayim. Shabbat is a testimony for creating the world and so forth. Then there's another type of mitzvot, another category is called mishpatim. These are all the mitzvot that make sense. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. And the third category is called chukim, the mitzvot that don't make sense. Mikveh, red heifer, kosher, shatnez, and so forth. And it says, im bechukotai telechi, if you're going to walk in the path of my chukim, what does it mean, chukim? The world are also called chukim. Why are the worlds called chukim? Milashon chok vezman. Why? Because there is a type of expression in the Hebrew that chok and zman, chok is a rule and zman is a time. What do we say when we say Birkat HaLevana? Yesterday was a little, I wouldn't say an argument, but there was a few difference of opinions. Should we say Birkat HaLevana yesterday? Somebody said, hey, it's Motzei Shabbat. Let's say Birkat HaLevana, Kiddush Levana. And there was a debate, a halachic debate here, whether we say it or not. So we didn't get into the whole halacha into it, which I actually, as a result from that, I thought we should maybe learn on that. There's a difference of opinion. When I can say Kiddush Levana, when I shouldn't say, I mean, to most opinions we don't say. We have to wait after 7 days. And today is the seventh day. Today is Zayin in Iyar, which means last night, Motzei Shabbat, was the beginning of Zayin Iyar. You're right. To some opinions, you can say Kiddush Levana after 3 days already. But to most opinions, it says, how can you say Kiddush Levana? There's barely any Levana. You're not benefiting from the light. Besides the fact that the reason why we wait 7 days is because the Levana is representing the Chiddush, the renewity, so to say, of the seven powers of my Nefesh, Shevet Kochot HaNefesh. I can't say it before 7 days. Technically, I can only say, again, depends, we're not going to get into the halacha argument right now here, but after 7 days. And to the most accurate opinion, is you do Kiddush Levana on the 14th day. That's when it's the most powerful. But nevertheless, we will do a class about that because there's a lot of interesting opinions when, how, and what. Needless to say, the Kabbalistic approach. But when we say Kiddush Levana, what do we say? Chok uzman natan lahem, if you remember. A time and a rule and a law he gave them, the days of the month. And this is referring to the world. What does that mean practically? We like being practical. What does it mean? When I really work hard, that my mind is not going to be infected with impurity. And it takes a lot of effort. Because here pops something, here pops something, here constantly popping these things and these pop-ups in my eyes and in my mind. It's very hard to have to keep a very clean mind. If you go to, like, I don't know, to some retreat in the middle of nowhere, all you hear is birds singing, and then there's no internet there and all sorts of other junk, then it's very easy to calm the mind down. But when the mind is being triggered every 2 seconds by something else, very hard to keep a clean mind. But nevertheless, when a person really focuses, and this is called an effort, for that my mind should constantly flow in a pure place, what does it affect? It's affecting the worlds above. It's taking my thought to a much higher level. That's why it's called the world above. Not because it's in the second floor, because it's taking me to a higher level that I'm able to, again, giving the same example, I'm able to look at an attractive woman and I don't think anything impure. It's another person. Or I see an opportunity for a business deal, I'm not thinking how to cheat and make another few dollars. But nevertheless, that's taking my thought to a pure world, to a higher world. Now, what would be the result from that? V'natati gishmechem. We just mentioned the verse. If you're going to go into him with my chukim, what's the continuation of the verse? I will give you your gashmiut, your rain. Gishmechem is referring to rain, but gishmechem comes from the word gashmiut. Hem gashmiut advarim, the physical part of what you need, your sustenance. And then the thoughts that are coming up from the body will become pure thoughts. Gam ken ve'yalu lemala b'itim alyonim. And when would the thoughts go up? The thoughts will go up to the right place at the right moments. These are the itim, these are the zmans, when I pray. Because when I have impure thoughts pulling me down, when I'm able to elevate my thoughts and pure my thoughts at the right time, when I'm standing in front of Hashem, that's when these thoughts are going up to the worlds above. What do they do in the worlds above? They are affecting the worlds with rain. We mentioned on Friday, I mentioned that on Shabbat there's a certain energy in the world. And this energy, the Kabbalistic term to it, is called Tala Shamayim. Tala Ila'a, the heaven's dew. This is the type of energy that comes down to the world on Shabbat. Why are we getting this energy? Because Yitzchak Avinu gave a blessing to his son Yaakov, And he gave him the blessing, mital hashamayim, umisham ne'aretz. But he gave him the ability to pull down a certain shefa, a certain energy from the world above. It's called tal hashamayim. What's the difference between rain and dew? Rain, we have to pray for, and we have to work for it. And if we sin, there's not going to be rain here. And if we do certain actions, it will be bring rain. We have totally control over the rain. But with dew, we don't have control over it. It comes, doesn't matter if I deserve it, I don't deserve it. The dew will come regardless. Same thing on Shabbat. On Shabbat, this energy will come down to the world, whether I sin, I don't sin, I observe Shabbat, I don't observe Shabbat. This heaven's dew will come down to this world. Now, when I do a certain action, it awakens the world above to bring down a shefa, a certain abundance. Now, this is called gishmechem. It's not referring to necessarily to the actual rain, but when I do a certain action, if the action will be positive, the reaction will be positive also. What I bring, the shefa that I bring above me is positive. And if I do, chas v'shalom, a negative action, then the abundance, the shefa that is coming from the world above is negative. I do that. Shlomo HaMelech says, kamayim apanim el apanim. Whatever I do, as I get a reflection. Kamayim apanim el apanim means that when you put your face in the water, mayim is water, and panim is face. And when I put my face in the water, there's going to be a reflection. So in our days, we're more, we don't use so much water, we look in the mirror. But when you look in the mirror, if you smile to the mirror, then the guy in the mirror smiles back at you right away. He doesn't even ask questions, he smiles right away. The only problem is that this, if you notice, if you raise your right hand to the guy in the mirror, then he raises his left hand. So it's opposite. But nevertheless, this is the idea with kamayim apanim el apanim. What I do, that's what I bring on me. This is a reflection and a reaction. Same thing here. When I elevate something holy and positive to the world above, how do I do that? It's when I pray three times a day. And when I elevate something pure, pure thoughts, what comes down? Purity. Comes bracha, comes a shefa, comes a good thing. If I pray, and as I'm praying, I'm elevating up to the world the woman with the red dress, the woman with the blue dress, the business deal that I could do here and this and that. What am I taking up there? So what's going to come down? Will come down the exact same thing. So specifically, one needs to constantly make sure that their mind is pure. And if you find that your mind is not pure, is manufacturing a lot of thoughts that are impure, then you have to do what's called a bedek bayit. You have to check around. What's going on? Why is my thoughts so impure? 10% of the day I have some bad thoughts here and there. Fine, okay, I'll give you that. Fine, it's not yours. It's just thoughts being thrown into your mind. And the question is how fast you push them away. But if all day long your thoughts are impure, then and you're the only one who can do to know that. Nobody can look at you and be like, "Ooh, I see some impure thoughts there." So, but nevertheless, the practice one needs to do is constantly to monitor their thoughts. And right away, when an impure thought comes, pause it, think for 1 second. Where is this thought coming from? Is it coming from me? Is it coming from the movie that I saw before? Is it coming from the website that I visited a few minutes ago? Where is this thought coming from? Maybe a billboard, maybe something, whatever. The point is that I want to constantly have pure thoughts. Because when I have pure thoughts, needless to say, my actions become pure. And my speech becomes pure. But not only that, whatever I'm elevating to the world above is pure. So what comes back down to the world below is also pure. And this is a more of an inner explanation, what it means, Ele Moadei Hashem. We have auspicious times. There is a time when I'm standing in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you think that you're doing somebody a favor that you're coming to the Minyan, you're not. You're doing yourself a favor. Hashem doesn't need you. You need to come. This is the time when Hashem says, I will give you now a few minutes of my time. You can talk to me. You can report. You can ask. You can pray. You can cry. You can do whatever you want. Hashem tells you, I'm giving you a little bit of my time. These are the times that the Kadosh is telling you, you know what? I will give you the opportunity to change something. Because we have a very powerful ability in this world, the power of change. You know, in the world above, you can't change anything. The way it is, that's how it is. This is the only world where you can start changing things. Can you imagine what a high level this is. We think we're a low level. Take now a soul in Gan Eden, whatever it designed, that's what is there. It doesn't change. It stays forever. Whether it's Gan Eden or Chas V'Shalom, the opposite of Gan Eden. In this world, you have constantly an opportunity to change. You can be a Rasha Gamur now. A minute later, you do Tshuva, you're a Tzaddik Gamur. Totally different. So one needs to take this to mind that Hashem is giving us auspicious times. This is called Mo'adim. And Hashem says, you can do an action, lif'ol, that you make a change. That's where Hashem says, I can also change. If you're willing to change, I will change. That's where we, so to say, catch Hashem, that is control, chas v'shalom, we can't say that, but there's the concept of time for Hashem and the concept of change. Because really Hashem doesn't change. But Hashem tells you, you change, I'll change too. You make an effort, I'll make an effort. You make a step, I'll make a step. Nevertheless, we have to internalize that to understand what's the gift that we have and what's the opportunity that we have and to apply that into my life. Bezrat Hashem should merit to constantly grow and grow and grow. רבי חנניה בן הקשה אומר, רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לזכות את ישראל, לפיכך הרבה להם תורה ומצוות שנאמר, אדוני חפץ למען צדקו, יגדיל תורה ויאדיר.